Good evening, everyone. It's time to take charge of your life. Hello, this is marriage and family therapist Eleanor Barbaro, your host, inviting you to take charge of your life on WDIY. The theme of this program is that so many events in life happen to us over which we have no control. Our only control is our response to life's situations. It is often said that 90% of life's events happen to us, and 10% is what we make happen. Tonight we talk about receiving the diagnosis that you have type 1 diabetes. What does that diagnosis mean? How does it affect your lifestyle? My guest this evening is Oren Lieberman, a CNN international correspondent currently based in Jerusalem, who has 10 years in television news. He's the recipient of 2 Emmy Awards and 3 Associated Press Awards. He was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes on Valentine's Day 2014 in a local clinic. Guess where? In Nepal. His diagnosis came in the middle of a year-long backpacking trip with his wife, Cassie. He now works with the American Diabetes Association to promote safe travel for others. And Oren and his wife, Cassie, live in Jerusalem with their baby daughter, Noah. It is a pleasure to welcome Oren Lieberman, author of The Insulin Express, to help us take charge of our lives on WDIY. Welcome, Oren.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And it sounds so dramatic when you say it, when you read it like that.
Well, I was just very impressed with your story and with your book, The Insulin Express, because, first of all, you write in a way that it's like talking to a friend, and a friend that I really appreciate knowing. And tell us how you and Cassie decided to stop your careers and go backpacking around the world.
Why not? We had kind of bubbled around with the idea a little bit and tossed it back and forth, but I never thought it was possible, right? I was used to 2 weeks of vacation a year. At that point, in 8 years in television news, I'd worked every single holiday. So I never really thought long-term travel was possible. So I never really entertained the idea. And then a few years ago, we were in Jerusalem. We were having a great time with these Australians, and we just kind of thought they were traveling for fun and didn't really have serious jobs. And there came this moment where we found out they were doctors. They were all studying to be doctors. And that was very much a light bulb moment for me. If they can do it, if they can have serious jobs and travel for a year, I think we can too. And that was really sort of the birth of the trip. It would take a few more years to put everything together, to buy our backpack and basically to sell everything else. But that was the sort of the genesis of the trip. And then everything rolled forward from there.
Yeah, well, it took you a while to get yourselves together. And how did you come up with the itinerary? Because you really went almost quite around the world. How did you come up with your itinerary?
So we looked at, there are actually round the world tickets you can get, package plans, and we got the Star Alliance one. And the idea was you had a cap of miles. I think our cap was 39,000 miles, and you had to keep moving in one direction. So you picked east or west, and you kept going. So we picked east. And eventually, we got all the way around the world. We knew we wanted to visit certain countries. We knew we wanted a bit of Europe. My older sister was about to move to Kenya, so we added Kenya to the itinerary. I wanted to visit family in Israel. We knew we wanted to give back in some way, and that's how Nepal made the itinerary. Cassie had thought about volunteering for a summer to teach English in Nepal. That it didn't happen then, but we made it happen on our trip. So that was our giving back. We taught English to young Buddhist monks in Nepal for a month and a half. And then we just kept going. A little bit of Southeast Asia, China, Japan, South America.
Vietnam.
and home. And then a quick little trip to Iceland right at the end when our plan, we were supposed to spend a little more time in Argentina. She essentially got a job too quickly, which forced us to call off Argentina. But then we headed to Iceland, which was an incredible experience. Iceland is simply a different planet in terms of what you see there. And it was the perfect ending to the trip in many ways.
Well, here you are. And now, when we think of traveling, we think of people with suitcases and what have you. But you are backpacking. I want people to understand. You are backpacking. That is minimalist traveling to its core. So here you are backpacking, and you're climbing. Now, didn't you do climbing of mountains?
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about
Nepal.
In Nepal, right?
So this actually leads into the diagnosis story. We climbed the Annapurna Trek, which is up to Annapurna Base Camp. A quick little bit of history: the first mountain over 8,000 meters climbed was not Everest; it was Annapurna. Annapurna 1. So we didn't go that high. We didn't go nearly that high. We went to the base camp at about 14,000 feet, if I remember correctly. And we knew that that was part of Nepal. We would do some volunteering and we'd hike. So it was 5 days up and 3 days down. And it was an incredible experience. You're climbing into the mountains and you're surrounded by some of the tallest mountains on Earth. And it was unbelievable. But every night I went to sleep cramping. I had to go to the bathroom all the time. And my body was breaking down. I didn't know it yet. But I had just pushed my body far past its breaking point before I had diabetes, but I wasn't diagnosed yet. So I was very much in the danger zone on that trek.
What led you to seek out some consultation to see what was going on with your body?
So especially while traveling, it's always easy to make an excuse for why something isn't going right. So my rationale was, why do I have to go to the bathroom all the time? Well, I'm in Nepal. It's the dry season. Of course I have to go to the bathroom all the time. Of course I'm drinking water constantly. It just, I made it make sense in my mind. So we finished trekking, and then we started volunteering. We volunteered for about 5 weeks. And I just kept on losing weight. I didn't see it, although I was losing weight at a tremendously fast rate. But one day, after both my parents and Cassie's parents noticed my weight loss in a Skype conversation we had, we decided, you know what, let's find a scale somewhere here. And of course, everything there is in kilograms. So I step onto the scale, and I'm looking back at the number, and I'm doing the math in my head, and the number just didn't make any sense. It was 76 kilograms. And if that was right, I had lost something like 40 to 45 pounds.
Oh, that's a lot of weight.
A tremendous amount of weight. And it was at that point when we finally came to the conclusion, okay, the scale's not wrong, I actually have lost a tremendous amount of weight. It was at that point we knew I had to go to the doctor. The problem with going to the doctor in Nepal, the clinic, is that he misdiagnosed me. He said, it seems like malnutrition. Just have more fruit juices, eat more. And he poisoned me. Fruit juice is poison to people with diabetes. So in 3 days, because I was incredibly thirsty, so I was chugging fruit juice. Just we'd buy cartons of it because it was very cheap. And he spiked my blood sugar. He put me in DKA, what's called diabetic ketoacidosis, when the body begins to poison itself. When you hear of people passing out or going into coma from diabetes, it is generally because of DKA. So we went back to him 3 days later and basically said, look, you got something wrong here. There's something's not right with the picture you've given us. And I remember it was early in the morning. It was a very quick stop. And he looked at his assistant, and I got the feeling they had discussed the possibility of me coming back. And he brings out a blood sugar monitor. I immediately knew what it was because a very good friend of mine growing up had diabetes. And the number was in the 300s, high 300s.
That is overwhelming.
And that was it. I mean, there was no doubting it at that point. He said, I'm sorry to tell you, my friend, but you are a diabetic. And that's a moment I'll never forget.
That was absolutely incredible. You had no idea beforehand that you were diabetic in any way.
Not a clue. Nobody in my family has diabetes. There were no hints, at least none that I ever noticed, that I had diabetes.
And if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Take Charge of Your Life. This is your host, Elena Bobro. And this evening, I'm talking with Oren Lieberman, a CNN national international correspondent currently based in Jerusalem, who has written a fabulous book called The Insulin Express, One Backpack, Five Continents, and the Diabetes Diagnosis That Changed Everything. And we've just come to the diagnosis. Now this comes to a crucial point, because if you have diabetes and you have you have to be on insulin, how do you make the decision to continue the trip?
So we knew, the moment we knew I had diabetes, and it took one more day to get an official diagnosis, we had to do a couple more checks, we knew I had to get home. So it's Valentine's Day 2014, and suddenly I have to get home. This is the most important thing. So we're not in Kathmandu, Nepal. We're in Pokhara, Nepal, which is a city outside of Kathmandu, quite far. So we have to get a flight from Kathmandu to from Pokhara to Kathmandu. We have to get a flight from Kathmandu home, which is not a direct flight. So there's a layover somewhere, possibly two layovers somewhere. But that became the most important thing in my life. And that doctor said, yes, you're okay to fly home. We got back from the doctor. I got back from the doctor first. That morning I'd gone alone. And I immediately broke down. The world just didn't make sense to me at that point. And I wasn't capable of sort of coping with anything at that moment. I got in touch with my wife, who was volunteering that day. She came back, and we started to make the plans. And the next day, that was the day we were supposed to fly out. As we're packing our stuff, I just broke down again. And she looked at me, and she said, do you want to go to the hospital? And I said, yes. And that's it. We canceled our flight, and we went straight to the hospital. And there began 4 days in... Four of the hardest days of my life in a hospital that simply was not equipped to deal with that.
And did you decide, what I thought was very interesting is that you decided to go home, to go back home to your parents and be with your parents. Why was that important for you?
I needed to get centered. I needed to sort of get my life to make sense to me again, figure out how to live with diabetes, figure out what it means to have diabetes. How it works, how it's treated, what are the symptoms, how do you know if you're in trouble? These are questions I didn't have answers to yet.
Was there a thought here that you would cancel the trip? Or you hadn't been...
At first, sure. At first, the responsible decision was to go home, and it made sense to call off the rest of the trip. But once we got home, and it took... I was at one hospital for 4 nights. I had to go to another hospital to get... properly treated, because the first hospital didn't do it well at all. But once we got home and we started to look at what it would be like to live with diabetes, we made what I consider the most important decision of my life. And that was the decision, after a month of being at home, to get back on the road, to finish what we had started, to finish the trip. We had about 5 months to go. And obviously we changed our itinerary a little bit, but it was that decision to finish what we had started. We were determined to see the trip through. And I knew that if I stopped... If I use diabetes as an excuse right there, in my first big decision, I would always use it as an excuse, and I refused to do that.
And we're going to talk more with Oren Lieberman, a CNN international correspondent currently based in Jerusalem, who's written this remarkable book called The Insulin Express, when we return to take charge of your life on WDIY.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
Welcome back to Take Charge of Your Life. Hello, this is Eleanor Bobrow, your host. And this evening we're talking with Oren Lieberman, who is a CNN correspondent, now based in Jerusalem, who is the author of a very special, exciting book called The Insulin Express, a book that describes he and his wife Cassie's decision to do a backpacking trip around the world and his diagnosis, or discovering that he had diabetes in, of all places, Nepal. But did they really help you in Nepal, or did they give you an indication that it might be diabetes in Nepal, or you had to go further?
So I was officially diagnosed in Nepal. Could they really help me is a bit more of a difficult question. The first hospital, no. I spent 4 nights in a hospital, and it felt like I was running in place. I wasn't getting any better. The second hospital we went to, which was in Kathmandu, they really, those doctors, I owe them my life, because they were incredible doctors. It was one one general physician and the endocrinologist, and they were amazing. In 48 hours, I felt infinitely better about having diabetes, just with them. Something about them was calm and reassuring. They certainly knew what they were talking about. And for the first time with them, and keep in mind this is a week after I was diagnosed, I began to feel like, okay, I can do this. I can live with diabetes. I can figure out how to manage this disease. And then the rest of my education came when I was home.
And what did that education at home prove to you? Help you to understand?
It's a manageable disease. It is a chronic disease. It is a relentless disease at times. And I can't tell you how many times I've been incredibly frustrated with my blood sugar numbers. They're out of whack. They're too high. They're too low. But it is a manageable disease. And if you're vigilant about it and diligent about it, you can do whatever you want. People with diabetes have climbed Everest. People with diabetes play professional sports. People with diabetes are rock stars.
So that enabled you to make the decision for you and Cassie to return and to continue the trip. But you mentioned in the book that you weren't going to allow anything to come in your way and to prevent you from living the fulfilling life and fulfilling your dreams that you and Cassie had so carefully planned. That you, in a sense, were going to take charge of your life and learn to live with the disease and continue your plans. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, that would be absolutely accurate. It was it wasn't an easy decision to come to make the decision to keep traveling, but it was, if I accept a limitation with diabetes now, I will always accept a limitation with diabetes. And I simply refused. The first 31 years of my life were quite fun, and I'm determined that however many more years there are, they will also be quite fun. And we made the decision to get back on the road and finish the trip we had started. And it wasn't a simple decision. You could argue it was an irresponsible decision. And yet it was simply a function of can we tick all the boxes? So can we do this safely? Yes.
And by the boxes, you mean, can you take all the boxes? What does that mean?
Can we make sure we have everything in order to travel with diabetes? So can we carry our supplies? Can I carry enough diabetes supplies, which is two kinds of insulin, a blood sugar monitor, emergency sugar, a glucagon shot, which is an emergency shot, a little measuring kit to measure my food so I can figure out how many carbohydrates. Can I actually carry all of this? We only have a backpack with us. And when we decided, okay, yes, check, next question. Do I understand diabetes well enough to do this? Sure, in a sense, it can be a simple disease. You have your blood sugar is too high, take insulin. It's too low, eat sugar. Check. Next question. Financially, we were in decent shape at that point, so we could keep traveling. Check. Next question. And we just went down the list. And then it was simply, am I ready to do this? And that was, of course, the most important question. And that was very much a yes. When we looked around, we decided, yes, we were finishing the trip we had started. We had to change a few things because I was carrying insulin, and insulin can't get too hot. We had to stay in places that we knew had a fridge, for example, so I can keep my insulin cool. But it was little adjustments like that that allowed us to keep traveling. Sure, my blood sugar numbers when we started were a little bit all over the place. We went to Thailand, and it was unbelievably hot and humid, and that affected my blood sugar, so I had to figure out how to manage that. But it was just a function of being diligent, of putting in sort of the work. And it was difficult at first, but no less enjoyable.
And I think one of the most extraordinary things in the trip that caught my attention was the fact that here you are, you had everything all put together, and you had a little pack that stood out on your hip. I think it was a red pack. Was mm-hmm. it a red pack?
Yeah.
And somebody came along on a motorcycle or something, or motorbike, and robbed you.
In all of our planning, that was something I had not planned for. And let's not sugarcoat it. That was awful. We were in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. We were walking to dinner. And I had my little diabetes toolkit, a little bag that had my blood sugar monitor and some insulin sticking out of my left cargo pocket. And a moment I'll never forget, because I hear the motorbike accelerating behind me. So they were zipping past me. And it took me a half second to notice what had just happened. But in that half second, they were gone. I tried to chase them. I'm not that fast running. Certainly not as fast as the motorbike that they were speeding away on. And I had my diabetes supplies robbed from my pocket. Mm. I got incredibly frustrated, incredibly angry. And then I realized that being incredibly frustrated and incredibly angry doesn't actually do me any good, because I need to find a way to monitor my blood sugar. So it became switching into survival mode. Where do we find the supplies? Where is there a pharmacy? Where can we get what I need? And we looked at our itinerary and we said, okay, I need to get to Hong Kong, which I think was a few weeks away at that point. Because in Hong Kong, we knew we'd find a Western pharmacy. And we made it work. I had to use local Cambodian blood sugar monitors, which I wouldn't recommend generally. But we made it work and we kept traveling. And more importantly, we kept traveling safely.
Well, I think that's the most remarkable thing because I couldn't imagine what you would be doing, you know, away from Western pharmacies, to put it lightly, Western pharmacies in need of all this supplies for you to maintain, you know, a balance in the insulin and the sugar. But you did it and you managed, and that was incredible. And so you were able to continue the journey. And did you go home a second time?
Right at the end of the trip, right before the end of the trip, I should say, we went home for my wife's brother's wedding. So that was very close to the end of the trip. We were in South America at the time, and we flew home for the wedding. We were home for another week. We started interviewing for jobs, and she got a job very quickly there. And then we were supposed to head back to Argentina, but that's where we didn't have time because of her job. And we decided to go to Iceland for a week instead. And that was the perfect ending of the trip.
What did you find so special in Iceland? I mean, I was in Iceland for, I think, a day or so, but I didn't find it very special. I found it cold.
Freezing cold.
Freezing cold, icy. What did you find special about Iceland?
Part of it was, I think forget Iceland. It was us finishing the trip on our terms as opposed to having it cut off by my diabetes. So that in and of itself was great. We rented a car and we just drove around. And once we got out of Reykjavik, the countryside is just beautiful at that point. And it was incredibly peaceful because it wasn't tourist season. So the roads were empty and we took our time. We were together. And that was just as important as everything else. And it was how we wanted to finish the trip. It was beautiful. We saw a number of stunning waterfalls. We drank a tremendous amount of coffee to stay warm. It was just, to me, the perfect ending to the trip. I will say my favorite country was Ireland. Ireland, China, and Thailand were my three favorite countries on the trip, all for very different reasons.
And what made Ireland special?
The people. Ireland, we left Dublin fairly quickly. And then we would just drive around to the smallest little town we could find. And we'd find the pub, because that's where Irish people hang out. And after work, they all just congregate at the pub, and it's very familial. There's a family there, and they want to know immediately why you're there. Are you having a good time? What have you seen? And it was, I mean, the fact that they could just make you feel like family in a heartbeat. And it also helps that because of all the rain, there are rainbows everywhere. So,
Ireland is a place where people are warm and welcoming, and you feel like you're a part of them immediately. They don't leave
Absolutely.
You out. They don't ignore you. If you come into a pub or what have you, they immediately embrace you.
Absolutely. And it was wonderful. And the countryside itself is phenomenally beautiful, which just adds to it. But it was the people in Ireland that made Ireland so special.
And your other favorite countries?
China and Thailand.
And what made China special?
China is an incredible country for so many different reasons. First, you're in cities that would make New York City look like a quaint little suburb, right? 25 million people, just everywhere.
So we shouldn't be concerned about the traffic in New York City.
No, be at peace with traffic here. Part of what made it special is both Cassie and I have friends in Beijing. So they showed us around, and it was great to see them. I hadn't seen some of them in years. Beijing itself is beautiful. The food is amazing, completely different from Chinese food, from American Chinese food. We hiked and on the Great Wall. We spent the night sleeping on the Great Wall of China.
Yes.
And that was, I certainly never in my wildest dreams did I think that was actually possible. And
most people don't get a chance to do that. That was something that came unexpectedly, that you had a chance to sleep at the Great Wall of China.
Yes, we had signed up with a tour. And it's not quite legal to sleep on the Great Wall of China, but it's kind of, as long as you don't break anything and you're peaceful about it, nobody will bother you. So we slept in an ancient guard tower. And it was just a beautiful night, and I stayed awake long after Cassie had gone to sleep just to sort of, and I know this sounds a bit romantic, but just to sort of stare at the stars and just enjoy where I was. And this was also after my diagnosis, so it was my first time that I was far away from a hospital at that point. And to realize, okay, everything's going well. We're having a great time. We're in China. And this is simply wonderful.
You know, I want people to know that this book is written in a way that Oren becomes a friend. He writes in such a personal way that you feel that you're talking and reading with a friend. And it is a remarkable book and a remarkable journey about a person who has to make a decision about what to do with their plans after discovering that you have type 1 diabetes. It is a remarkable read. And now Oren is going to be present for a book signing at Barnes & Noble on May 7th in Southmount Mall in Bethlehem Township at 1 o'clock. So you can get a chance to meet him there and get a copy of his book. And I want to thank you, Oren Lieberman, CNN correspondent based in Jerusalem and author of The Insulin Express, for helping us to understand that even after being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes, it is possible to backpack across 30 countries, including the Great Wall of China. And you found that despite the diagnosis of type 1 diabetes, it is possible to create a journey of resilience and self-discovery and a world filled with surprises and liabilities. Thank you again for listening. Thank you, Neil Heaver, producer. See you all on the radio next Monday evening at 6:30 p.m. when I again invite you to take charge of your life on WDIY.